Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hoops Hype did a breakdown of the month-by-month strength of schedule for each NBA team, and the Chicago Bulls are going to have an even more difficult start than what I think we realize, but it does ease up there in the middle. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, Nikola Vucevic does play in Eurobasket and has himself a solid game, but the main topic today is why Coby White's contract situation is going to tell us everything that we need to know about how the Bulls really view this roster at the end of this season. We'll talk about it all and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go and get into this content for today, y'all. And we want to start off talking about the Chicago Bulls schedule. Now, we talked about it at the schedule release. We know that the month starts off very difficult for the Chicago Bulls at the start of the season. And when you look at it, the Hoops Hype has had they created a strength of schedule index where they rate each team and their strength of schedule month by month. And the Bulls start off really tough. When you look at it, when you look for the month of October, the Bulls have a strength of schedule index of 112.6, which is behind only three other teams in the NBA. They have the fourth most difficult schedule to start off the NBA season. Now, that is at the start. A lot of teams are still figuring out their new rosters, the new parts, implementing new things, whether they're new coaches, stuff like that. But having a schedule that's that tough to start off the season, it really just highlights how the Bulls cannot afford to get off to a slow start like they did last year. You know, I've said before, if they can come out of that month of October at 500 or hopefully above, it really does set them off pretty well. Now, October is a short month for the Chicago Bulls. I mean, for all teams, but you want to be able to start off that your season at a place of strength. And if they can do that, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But it's important that the Bulls get off to a really solid start at the start of the season if they want to be believed as this team that has making a step up from last year. But then you look at the first full month of the schedule. The strength of schedule for the Chicago Bulls in November is 94.5, which is really, really, really easy when you look at it. Their most difficult stretch comes at the beginning of the first week of that month, where they face off against the Knicks, the 76ers, the Bucks, the Cavs, the Spurs, and the Pistons all in that stretch. And the 76ers, one could say, hey, maybe that's not going to be tough. We don't know exactly what the 76ers are going to look like. But, you know, that's what it comes down to. And then when you look at the final eight games of that month, they play against the Jazz, the Nuggets, the Blazers, the Heat, the Wizards, the Pelicans, the Hornets, and the Pacers. All of those teams, when you look at it, you'd say the Nuggets are definitely a playoff team in that run as well. The Hornets are always interesting because it depends on how their health is. And I feel like the Hornets usually have a strong start to the season, but we'll see. But other than that, those are really manageable games. The Heat are always a difficult game for the Bulls too, but it gets easier in that stretch. But then when you look at the hardest schedule for the Chicago Bulls, that's the month of March, where they have a 112.7 strength of schedule index, which is really tough for them. 9 of their 15 games are on the road during that. That includes a Western Conference trip against the Suns, the Kings, the Warriors, Lakers, and the Clippers. Those are all going to be very difficult games for the Chicago Bulls. And we also, in that month, we have a stretch where we play off against the Cavs, the Rockets, and the Thunder over a 4-game span. So the month of March is going to be a really difficult month this year for the Bulls. And those people who say the month of March doesn't matter, we'll be interested to see that. But, you know, it's funny that two of the Bulls' most difficult months are at the beginning of the season, that first month where some fans try to tell you that part of the season doesn't matter either. And then the month of March where some people try to tell you that part of the season doesn't matter either. So, you know, we'll see how the Bulls carry on with that. But this is going to be a season where you know, Bulls, the travel days, all those type of things are going to be interesting to watch how the Bulls really manage those things. And it's going to be a season, especially that month of March. Like, do the Bulls make a February trade deadline move? I know it's probably not likely, and a lot of people aren't betting on that happening for the Chicago Bulls, but it's going to be a month to definitely watch to see how this is going to come about. And you know, looking at Billy Donovan and this coaching staff and how they really have these guys prepared and ready. I talked a little bit on Locked On Bulls yesterday about the fact of how, you know, this team's one of their biggest flaws is defensively. And, you know, you look at how you're going to scheme out that defensive problems for the Chicago Bulls, right? You know, you have two point of attack defenders that are really solid in Ayo Dosunmu and Isaac Okoro. Outside of that, you know, you're hoping Modest takes a step defensively, of course. You know, you're hoping that maybe Noah Esengate to crack that rotation, which, you know, with Noah not playing over in Eurobasket and, you know, really staying over here, working at the Advocate Center, working with the Bulls trainers, getting himself ready. I said over on Locked On Bulls, I would not be surprised if we see Noah at the beginning, at media day, and he actually looks like he's already put on about 3 to 5 pounds of muscle. Because since summer league, Noah's kind of been tucked away, and he's been tucked away working. And he's been working out, he's been training, he's been getting it together. Now, I'm not here to say that that's automatically going to put him in a place where he's going to be able to deal with the NBA physicality. It's still going to be an adjustment period for him. But I think, you know, those things you're looking at. And so the Bulls, you know, keys to them not having a slow start to the season is, A, first, they got to get this Josh Giddey crap done and over with. Like, regardless, I hope that this gets done before training camp opens. We're exactly a month away from training camp opening for the Chicago Bulls, and you want this done. I do not want to see a time where Josh Giddey is not there at the start of training camp. We already see that the guys are having unofficial workouts with Kobe and Modest and Dalen Terry and Trey Jones, all those guys there, and Josh Giddey was not pictured with those guys. Now, that's off-season workouts. It would be nice. He was doing that last year with the team, and we still got off to a slow start, so there's that part of it. But, you know, you would just like to see that because, you know, any type, you want this team to work on their chemistry, and I want them to pick up on where they left off last year chemistry-wise. The level of play, all those type of things, the hot shooting from Josh Giddey, that may not maintain, and that's fine. That's unreasonable to expect 40% from three-point shooting to maintain, but at this point, like, you are messing with the chemistry of your team potentially, and, you know, those one of those things that can go overlooked, but I guarantee you it's one of those things that looking back on the season, if the season does get off to a slow start, that they are talking about that at the end of the season, saying, hey, we got off to a slow start. Josh Giddey wasn't at training camp. We had to reincorporate with him. We weren't able to train with him with whatever new systems and new plays that we're trying to implement. You got to get that together. And so I'm not putting that all necessarily on the Chicago Bulls either. I'm just saying that this thing between Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls, you got to get this worked out before the start of training camp. You do not want to go into that with this situation is what it is again, right? And Brett Siegel even talked about it. You know, on his recent, you know, update in regards to offseason and free agency and things like that. And basically, it's just there's nothing really coming again. Like, you know, he did say this, all indications from Chicago this summer that the Bulls and Josh Giddey will find common ground on a new long-term contract. Yeah, but we've heard that now. We've heard that they will find common ground for 2 months now, and no common ground has been met yet. Now, that doesn't mean that common ground won't necessarily be found, but the fact that Chicago hasn't entertained any type of sign and trade scenario for Josh Giddey. Then on top of that, it did say that the Warriors and the Bulls did hold talks near the start of free agency. All right, we're well removed from that. So that doesn't matter at this point anymore. Those talks are cut off, and that the gap is still sitting at that $10 million gap. Like, at some point, somebody got to come off of something if you want to get this deal done. And at this point, I'm blaming both sides, right? And again, I get that the Bulls are trying to play the market. I get that Josh Giddey is looking at his value and what he feels his worth is. And both sides have a opportunity or have a reasons why they sit on that. I'm not saying that at all. But at some point, if you want to get business done, you got to do business. Now, recently it was rumored that there was a 3-year deal in the 65 to 70 million range that was talked about. That's if it's 65 to 70, that's a little above the $20 million that the Bulls were expected. And so there you go. I think that you have to go slightly at least above that $20 million stance, but we'll see. We'll see. We shall see what's going to happen here. And we'll see if this team can meet on some type of middle You know, I think that 4-year, I can't remember what was 92-ish million dollar contract that we heard about at one point was fair. You know, and I think that was probably one of the best in between contract scenarios that we've heard for the Bulls. But at this point, like, what is happening here? And what does either side really want to get business done, or do they want to, you know, how like it's like, do you want to settle or do you want to win the argument? And that's what it really comes to. It seems like both these sides want to win the argument and nobody's winning. Like, nobody's winning. Like, the Bulls aren't winning by it. Josh Giddey's not winning by it. And, you know, for people that say, oh, we'll just take the qualifying offer. Oh, just Josh Giddey's going to better. If he was going to take the qualifying offer, you would have by now. To me, the reluctance to take it at this point says that Josh Giddey understands the risk in taking the qualifying offer. Everybody wants to talk about it like the qualifying offer is the thing where you can it just goes well. You bet on yourself, boom, at the end of it, another team's going to pay you. Let me tell you the risk. For people that don't understand the risk of taking the qualifying offer and why all these restricted free agents are hesitant to take the qualifying offer. Because one, your team then is not in a situation or position to then prioritize you. Not saying they won't play Josh Giddey, but they have no benefit of prioritizing him at that point. And if that happens, that hurts the value. Also, injuries come a dime a dozen. Josh Giddey has had a semi-serious injury almost every year of his career that has cost him to miss time. Not blaming him for that. Every player goes through that. But guess what? Once you go to unrestricted free agency,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're looking for big money, teams will use every excuse. And the combination of those two things, don't let him suffer an injury, don't let the Bulls not prioritize him, and then, God forbid, they still have some level of success, it's going to be difficult. So that's why you see a player like Josh Giddey that could have every reason to bet on himself not want to do that. Players want the long-term security. Because in this league, you're only one injury away from being chopped liver. And are being labeled injury prone. That just is what it is, our injury risk. And so because of that, that's why you're seeing Josh Giddey not take the qualifying offer. That's why when we heard a couple of weeks ago that Giddey's agent, semi-threatened the qualifying offer, the Bulls didn't blink at it because they understand how players want long-term security in this. So, you know, we'll see. I'm not saying that it's still not the nuclear option, but I don't believe that Giddey wants to take the qualifying offer, nor should he. Because it does put you in a potential situation where, you can look at it as just the positive side of betting on yourself, but there's a lot of question marks and negativity that can come with that as well. But moving on from that, the next biggest thing for the Bulls is Coby White's pending contract extension. No slight on Io DeSumo, but when you look at the situation for Coby, that's going to tell a lot of how the Bulls really feel about this core. And why I say that is this. Locking in big money for two players. Josh Giddey, we already see what he's going through, and the Bulls cannot afford to play the same game that they're playing with Josh Giddey with Coby White. They just can't because he is an unrestricted free agent in an offseason where I think as many as 10 teams are going to have max level money. You can't play that with Coby White in that because some of those teams are going to be bad teams, meaning that they are perfectly fine taking a shot on a player and giving him near max money even if they're not a star, right? They are willing to do that. And so the Bulls already not having the backing of restricted free agency. That is what is allowing them to play this game with Josh Giddey is the fact that he is a restricted free agent and the safety that restricted free agency offers the team that holds the rights over said restricted free agent. The Bulls don't have that. And they can only offer him a 4-year, $89 million contract as an extension, and he's unlikely to get that due to wanting over $30 million, going out into the into the free agent market in a season where a lot of teams have cap space. So the Bulls are going to be forced to do one of two things. It's either going to be they're going to have to pay Kobe. That's where we are. They're going to have to pay Kobe, or they have to be ready to let him walk for nothing. Those are the two options. And well, there's a third option during the season in which, if you believe it's going to go that last route where you're going to have to let him walk for nothing, they could trade him at the trade deadline. Those are the three options for Kobe White. This whole thing of you're not going to be able to, unless there's something that goes left, unless Kobe has an absolute horrible season or, knock on wood, some type of major injury happens, but if things go all chalk, those are your three options. You're either going to have to pay him. And this whole thing that some segment of the Bulls fans is like, oh, we just got to let him walk. Well, you're going to see that, and you're going to see how much that actually hurts a team when you let a player with talent walk just because you think that, oh, well, this isn't a player that we should build around. But then you let a player walk with talent, and now you have to work on replacing that talent that you have regardless of that. That's not, and you'll find very quickly in the NBA, that ain't always that easy. But you have to, it's either you pay him, you let him walk, or you trade him at the trade deadline. That's what we're seeing here for the Chicago Bulls. Those are the three options on the table right now, and the most likely scenarios and outcomes for Kobe White in the Chicago Bulls uniform. And seeing how the Bulls operate next year, keep in mind, they are one of the teams with the most cap space. I think they have the most cap space in the league going into next year. We will very much see how they really feel about this team, because this is a team that they feel confident about that can at least be a playoff team. If this is a team that they feel is really trending up, then why are you going to let a player go while you feel like you're trending up? And Kobe White is arguably your best player. And that's no knock to Josh Giddey. But as far as scoring-wise, those type of things, Kobe White is arguably your best player. And, you know, some people will use that and say, well, that is part of the problem here, is that we need a player better than Kobe White on the roster. All right, cool. But let me ask you this. How many star-level players have you seen in this league not be able to win because the team can't put the right pieces around them? That is why letting talent walk is dangerous, because you can have, look at what how much did Dame accomplish in his career over with Portland? Arguably, Dame is a damn near generational player. How much did he really accomplish in Portland? And that's with having LaMarcus Aldridge there at times, right? Like you have to, when you have talent, you try to keep that. It's not as simple as, let's just send everybody off until we get a star, and then boom, we got a stars off to the races. The Bulls have never been a free agent destination, even when we have had a star. We haven't been a free agent destination. So letting talent walk for nothing is a dangerous position that the Bulls are in. And so the angle that it seems like the Bulls are playing, I can't say for sure. I haven't talked to AK, not today anyway. But the thing that they seem like they are taking with this is that they are going to draft smartly, and they're going to develop, and they're going to hope that one of those guys that they develop is already on the team, or is a guy that they acquire with draft picks, and they end up turning to a star. Or what AK said, having 8 to 10 good players that are really, really good, and then hopefully that you find the right mix of really good players that you could become a threat. And right now we don't see that. It doesn't look like that, right? So that's where you stand. But this upcoming Kobe White season is hugely important. And for what it's worth, Kobe got to have a big year too. Kobe has to live up to the moniker of being now the team's number one scorer. He has to live up to that. And that's where he's going to be at coming into this year. He's going to be a player that is looked at as being the guy that can score. And, you know, me and Pat, we've been doing a series over on Locked On Bulls in which we've talked about how, you know, we pick one stat from a player and go over under that stat. And for Kobe White, we did 20 points per game, right? And his points per game total last year, and said that he's go over under that. You know, and I do think Kobe's going to have to go over that this season. You're the number one guy from the start of the season. You're the number one scorer. Josh Giddey's the number one playmaker. Now, both of you guys are going to have some playmaking opportunities, and Josh Giddey's still going to have scoring opportunities, but that's going to be your role here now. And when you look at how Kobe White and how he exploded there at the end of the season, 27.7 points per game, 4.7 rebounds, 3.7 assists on 49% shooting from the field, and almost 38% shooting from long range. That was in March. That was through 15 games. I'm not saying that he needs to complete that and do that, but we shall see what Kobe White, how close he can get to being that guy for the entirety of a year, because now it's going to be on you. Now you're going to have the opportunity to do that. Those opportunities and those chances are going to be there for you. Do you grab the bull, no pun intended, by the horns and show what you can be. If Coby White comes to the season, I've talked about this before. If he can get to 25 points per game, he'd be one of what I think 10 players did that last year that scored over 25 points per game. At that point, you make yourself not only just a good scorer, but you put yourself in the echelon of one of the best scorers in the game of basketball. And can he do that? That's what's ahead of him now, and that's what one of the questions that we have for Coby White coming into the season. We'll see. I hope that Coby White has the best season of his career. The best season of his career. At his age, 26 season? I think he turns 26 during this season. To have the best season of his career. Eliminate those doubts. But it's going to tell us a lot about how confident this team is and where this team is really going based off how they deal with Coby White in free agency. And we'll see what happens there. Last stop before we get out of here today, Nikola Vucevic is playing over in Eurobasket, the only Bull over in Eurobasket this year. And he had himself a game as Montenegro took on Germany yesterday. They did end up losing by 30 points, but Nikola Vucevic scored 10 points in the first 10 minutes. He ended up finishing with 23 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Vuc and this level of basketball is one of the best. And this is probably his last season playing internationally for his team. I think he's kind of alluded to that. We'll see. He may do another season, but it could be that for Nikola Vucevic. Now, what does that mean for the Bulls season? I wish I could tell you that it means more than what it does, but in the grand scheme of things, it means nothing. Vuc has played great overseas before and come over and had, you know, the same, like, similar seasons. And I think that the European style of basketball, there's still enough of a gap between the European style and the NBA style to where it's not one for one. But for what it's worth, go and watch it. Eurobasket is really fun, man. And for people that love the game of basketball and that could watch basketball, and it's not just about the names or always the flashy things, stuff like that. It's about the X's and O's, the execution, the game itself. Eurobasket is extremely fun. This is some of the most solid basketball that you're going to get in a condensed amount of time. We're talking about, 5 or 6 games yesterday? You're getting that every single day with Eurobasket, and they're really good. And some of the international players there, for example, if you would have watched the qualifiers, you would have seen Noah Essengay play, right, last year. So those are things that you have to look at for in those opportunities. And as somebody who loves basketball and loves watching the game of basketball at every chance that I get, Eurobasket is really fun. But shout out to Nikola Vucevic for having a strong game. Game high, 23 points. He went out there and did his thing. And I guess we'll see what the future holds for Nikola Vucevic, man. But I hope Vuce can have a big season here with the Bulls. You know, the Bulls still need to start looking at their center of the future. And we'll see what we can get with that. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. And catch you guys on the next one. Like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.